Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer, and we're coming to you live from Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It is Wednesday, September 17th. This is the 35th episode of this series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry. Today, my guest is the co-founder of an amazing culinary trade organization, and I will introduce her shortly. But first, as I do on every show, I will start with my PR tip, and then later we will have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip off the show with my PR tip of the week. Today's tip is to maximize your contacts. Now, this tip is important for publicists, as we are only as good as our relationships. Aside from active networking, or as I like to say, schmoozing, I recommend having access to an online media database, such as Cision. It's a super useful tool, especially when you have a specific pitch and person you want to reach. And you can share a PR software account with a few colleagues to save a bit on the cost, as it is pricey. This is what I do, and it works great. So optimize your relationships online as well as offline. That's my tip today. Now, I'm very excited about my guest. It is Stephanie Berghoff. She is the president and co-founder of Colintro, a culinary trade organization that provides resources, tools, and business solutions for restaurant industry professionals. A Westchester native who now lives on the Upper East Side, Stephanie caught the food bug early in her career. She graduated from Syracuse University with a BS in hospitality and restaurant management and worked in events for a trade organization before shifting to restaurant PR for Hall PR and KB Hall. In 2009, she co-founded Colintro. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here.
And I'm so happy to be here. Any excuse to come out to Roberta's.
Yeah.
And to see you.
Well, thanks. I love that we share the I didn't have the KB Hall, but I had the KB background in
yes.
PR.
Uh-huh.
And so I wanted to know, so you went to school for restaurant and hospitality. And restaurant management and hospitality. And then did you know what direction you wanted to go after that? Or did you just, what happened after college?
Yeah. So in college, I knew that I loved the hospitality. I loved meeting people who really were about restaurants and just about, you know, kind of just the meaning of what hospitality is. And so I, you know, majored in hospitality at Syracuse, knowing that I wouldn't necessarily be someone who could work in a restaurant. So I started learning about what other industries there were that related to hospitality, PR being one of them. So several of my internships throughout college revolved around public relations, which was one was with KB Network News at the time.
Oh, really? Wow, cool.
Yeah. So then upon graduating, I kind of went full circle and explored other opportunities, ultimately coming around to doing PR for restaurants.
Right. So you worked, and then you worked with Stephen Hall.
Yep. Worked with Stephen. And while I was there, he merged with Kareen, and they became KB Hall.
Yeah. I was trying to think when was this, like 2005-ish?
Because
I worked at KB in 2000 up to 2001.
Okay. I mean, Colintro started in 2009, so this must have been 2007, 2008.
Okay.
It was right before I launched Colintro.
Yeah, well,
2007, I think.
I mean, the merger didn't last that long, but they've both been very successful.
Yes, they are both very successful. Yes.
And I know I learned a lot from working at KB, and
absolutely.
I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah. It's just a good introduction to understanding the culture of food and hospitality in New York.
Absolutely. So then what inspired Calintro? How did this come about?
Yeah. So one day I was sitting there thinking about what I loved about the hospitality industry and how could I facilitate a way to make it easier to access, because there was no central community that really offered networking opportunities and job opportunities for hospitality professionals. And so I kind of stepped out of the box and just thought to myself, okay, well, this is what I understand about hospitality. These are the people that I know are involved in the industry. Let me try to create one resource for them and one platform that really connected them. And through events that we host and through the job board that we have, we've been able to establish this type of platform.
Yes, well, I became a member soon. I think as soon as you
yes, thank
started.
You.
Well, thank you, because I thought it was an amazing idea as a trade organization that united the culinary and hospitality world.
Thank you.
You're welcome. and so when you initially started, what was the business plan, or, you know, what you were doing events, I know.
Yeah, it was really to create one central location that offered restaurant professionals a place to, like, a network to be a part of. And so with that, I started to think, like, what does a community need? They need opportunities. They need career advancement. They need to meet more connections. The only way to succeed in any business is to know enough people to get you to the next level. And I thought, how can I relate that to a company? And with that, we created Culintro, which, you know, initially stood for Culinary Trade Organization, but ironically, it also stands for Culinary Introduction, which we didn't even realize when we put together the name. And
neither did I. Neat.
Yeah, so that part is kind of cool. And with that, we're just constantly trying to think of different programs that really unite and allow members to really get excited about in different ways.
Right. So I know you've had some panel discussions.
Mm-hmm.
I found those very interesting, and not only because of the topic, because it brings everyone together to network.
Uh-huh.
So what were some of the ones you've done?
Yeah, we've done events and, you know, that are about, you know, we get a lot of top chefs in this city, like Michael White and Danny Bowen, Andy Ricker, and we had them talk about how they expanded their business. We've talked about rebranding and what that does for your restaurant, ways to expose yourself in the media, a lot about hospitality design, because it relates to, you know, owners, to operators, to chefs, to architects and designers. It really brings together a larger group of people. And our next event, we're looking at building, you know, chefs that have left the empire to create their own brand.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So, you know, we're just trying to offer our members the tools they need to succeed. And if they can hear it from the experts on how they did it successfully, then they can relate that to their own business.
That makes sense. Now, your membership, who are your members? Is it chefs, publicists?
Yeah, it's anyone who works for, within, or kind of touches restaurants. So whether or not you work in a restaurant, or you work in marketing or PR, or you're an architect or designer, it's a place for you to go and meet other like-minded professionals.
And about how many members do you now have? Do you know?
Over 50,000.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a gradual organic growth. We started in New York. We launched in San Francisco in 2012, and recently this past summer in Chicago.
I was going to ask you about the expansion, because that's cool. So what's happening in those cities? Is it the same format?
Yeah, so we have like Culintro signature events, which are panel events, our late night parties, our industry happy hours. And so we're putting those together on in those cities and really trying to build out the communities in all of the cities that we expanded to. Our job board, you know, we work with restaurants in, I would say, the top 10 to 15 markets, but we really focus our events on those three markets.
So when you say we, how big is your staff now? And I'm assuming you have staff in these other cities.
Yeah, so we have, we're in New York, we have about 5 people, one in San Francisco, one in Chicago.
Got it. Yeah, you've grown from, well, when you started, it was you and Alina.
Yes.
And yeah, you've like a big, smaller company.
We're excited. We're happy with the way, the direction the company's been expanding.
Yeah, and you have an advisory board.
Mm-hmm.
So who's on your advisory board and how do they advise?
Yeah. So, well, when we started Culintra, we realized that we weren't the experts in the industry, but that we were creating a resource that was going to benefit the industry. So in order for us to really help and provide resources, we needed to align ourselves with the experts. So initially in New York, we built out a board of 15 executives, and they range from restaurant owners to like Mark Murphy from Benchmark to designer and owners like Avrico and Glenn Colvin, who's also a designer.
Who also came on my show.
Yeah.
Long time ago. I think he was like episode 5 or 6.
We work with a lot of the culinary schools. So we have Maureen Drum, who's the director of career services at the Institute of Culinary Education, to the Dean of Johnson & Wales. And we've really tried to bring together people that can really help us provide the best tools for the industry.
Yeah, no, that's smart.
So. Yeah, and that's how we've done it when we've expanded to the other markets, is reach out to the biggest players and see what we can do, because every market's a little bit different.
Right. Well, what are you noticing between San Francisco, Chicago, and here?
Yeah.
The difference?
I would say, I mean, you look at San Francisco, it's the best produce in the world. So a lot more of the restaurants are more focused on the farm-to-table movement and local cuisine. You know, you have Napa right there, so it's all about California wines. It's very community-driven. New York is all over the map. You know, Brooklyn is the hottest thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to compete with food in New York, I'd say. It's a higher bar compared to the other cities. And I would say Chicago is really much more taking a risk in the type of cuisine that they're serving. And they use a lot more, I would say, technology to enhance the different dishes.
Great. That's a good summary of all that. And yeah, no, I think you're right with New York. When I travel, I'm always comparing to New York, and I think our average here is still pretty amazing. That it's hard.
Yeah. It's hard to compete with New York, because even like we have the best of every type of food there is.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Like, you can get anything here, and you can get it at 3 a.m.
Right.
Right.
The convenience factor. It's just the standard is set so high.
Yeah, very true. Okay, so we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to come back and talk some more with Stephanie. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Thank you. The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
We are students at Girls Prep, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. This is All in the Industry. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Stephanie Berghoff of Calintro. So, Stephanie, I wanted to ask you a little more about the job board and how, I mean, I know it's not just back of the house and it's not even just front of the house, because you also have, it's more administrative jobs, and even publicists have jobs up there that they can find. So, yeah. So can you explain more how the job board works?
Yeah, so it's really a job board for our members. So anyone that works within or for or within a parallel business to the hospitality industry, we like to make sure that we have jobs, opportunities for them offered on our job board.
And to seek a job, there's no fee for that?
There's
anyone?
No, we recommend you become a member, and a member is, you know, ultimately just someone who receives our information through newsletters or job board news that is sent out, but there's no fee to join and there's no fee to search.
But there is a fee to post a job.
Yes.
So what's that? How does
so
that work?
So we have two different types of job postings. We have regular postings and premium postings. They both, the regular postings are for, we offer both for 14 and 30 days. The regular postings go down on the list and kind of, the premium postings are stay up on top of the list, and prices range from $20 to a regular 14-day listing to $75 for a 30-day premium listing.
And what are you finding most the jobs being posted right now? Is it front? Is it back? Is there a certain position? Because I think
line cooks.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, I was.
You read my mind.
Yeah, it's hard to find. I mean, so many chefs right now are having a hard time finding quality cooks for their kitchen. And I mean, we're trying to figure out different ways of engaging with culinary school graduates or with local communities on how to find and help staff these restaurants, but it has become a little bit challenging.
Yeah, no, I remember we were talking about that now. God, it was over a year ago we were talking about that.
It's a hard job to find. You need it's all about the passion and the will to want to work and succeed. And oftentimes when you go to culinary school, you come out with enough experience to not want to start at the bottom, which is understandable. It's, you know, culinary school is an expensive education, and you're paying to be able to learn and go to the next level. But in order to really gain the right experience, it's all about kind of humbling yourself and walking into these kitchens and agreeing to work the line.
Yeah, well, every time I read an article with a chef, when they're asked, do they recommend culinary school, most of them are saying they don't. They recommend more just to do that. Go in and get a job staging. And just experience it, because I think a lot of times people don't realize what the job is, and that you're cutting carrots for hours, and that you have to be consistent, and you're not going to become a TV famous chef instantly.
Totally, and it's hard. It's hard for these graduates to be okay with that, and that's understandable. You know, what's interesting in today's food world is, just because you go to culinary school doesn't mean that you're going to work in a restaurant. You know, it's an education you can use for different areas within the industry. But I think in order to really succeed in the restaurants, you really have to be willing to pay your dues.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw on your website you do have a staging program.
Yes.
So how does that work?
So we work with culinary schools and work with their students to find the best applicants that are really willing to put in the time for an externship, essentially. It's become more complicated because of the different laws pertaining to workers' comp insurance and whether or not the restaurant can you can't technically work for a restaurant and stage without getting paid, which kind of changes the way the whole dynamic of the kitchen, because the way it used to be and the way it is in Europe is you put in your time in order to learn and make sure that you're a good fit for the kitchen, you're a good personality for the kitchen, and you're really willing to work as hard as you can to make it to the next level.
So, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. That's a challenge.
It is. But one of our most successful stories is we placed a stage when we first launched Colintro, and he was a young kid, really, really passionate. And we called Harold Dieterle, who had just opened Perilla.
Okay.
And we said, we have a great guy for you. He's passionate. He has the will, but he doesn't have the experience. Would you be interested in meeting with him? And Harold did. And he ultimately became the executive chef at Kinshop.
Oh, that's awesome.
And now he's the executive chef at Casa Mono with his own supper club. So it's amazing, you know, the power of offering these aspiring cooks these opportunities. Because it's hard to find the passion, but when you find the passion, it really works.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, it's good. It's good when you see, you know, you help someone out and you see them succeed, and
yeah,
it's nice.
It's really rewarding, and, you know, we check in with him every so often, and it's a nice relationship that we've been able to develop with both, you know, Chef Dieterle and with Diego.
That's terrific. Okay, so I want to ask you my question from last week. Ben Leventhal was my guest. He's the co-founder and CEO of Resy, and he's also the co-founder of Eater.com. And his question is, what's the biggest challenge our industry is now facing, and how are we going to fix it? It's a big question.
Thanks, Ben.
Well, he noted that you're someone who has a good sense about what is happening in the industry and what people are talking about. So that was his reason for asking you this big question.
Yeah, and no, I've given it some thought. I think, you know, as we were just saying, finding the right talent for your restaurants is always challenging because, you know, if you have this image of this restaurant and it's only as good as the people that work in the kitchen and the people that work in the front of the house. Mm-hmm. So if you're lacking good staff to really help the image that you're looking to maintain, that becomes very challenging. I do think, you know, as it's been in the news, is the rents that are constantly changing in the city. And, you know, unfortunately, it is taking a big toll on some restaurants that have been around for many years. And, you know, that's going to be a big problem, I think, for New York particularly. And I think that's why it's really helped Brooklyn and all of these restaurants that are coming out in the different boroughs.
Yeah, no, it is a big problem and I keep reading more and more. Even just today, I saw something actually about Williamsburg, the corner where Egg and Mass Chocolate and the Regasta, the beer garden over there. They said they might be putting in there's someone looking to buy the lot and build some ginormous $1 million property. It was on Eater today.
And yeah.
I was like, so they're, yeah.
It's very timely. And, you know, we keep getting these chains now. New York used to not have chain restaurants, but they're the ones that can afford these leases and the banks and the Duane Reeds. So my fear is that it's going to take over many of our favorite local mom and pop joints that have been there for many years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something we're facing, and and we'll have to see, because I think we all, you know, like Union Square Cafe is going under, you know, it looks like they're going to have to close or move, and that's one that, I mean, they all strike home with people.
Definitely.
But it's been the city a long time.
Yeah. But, you know, what Ben's doing with Resy and all of these ticketing type of ideas of buying reservations. That's a really interesting concept, and maybe that's more ways to give secured revenue for the restaurants.
Yeah, no, and it's taking off. I mean, he keeps securing more and more places, and I think it's cool what he's doing.
I do too. I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah, so, okay, well, great.
Yeah.
Great. I'm sure Ben will be pleased with your answer. Okay, so we're going to take another break here. We're going to come back. We're going to do my speed round game and talk some industry news. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
This is Mark Ladner from Del Posto, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Stephanie Berghoff. It is time for my speed round game. Stephanie, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to name two things, and you just pick your preference.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Eat in or eat out?
Eat out.
Eat out, she said. How about wine, beer, or cocktail?
Wine.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
A la carte.
Small plates or large plates?
Small plates.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Tipping.
Communal table or chef's counter?
Chef's counter.
Regarding job recruitment, front of the house or back of the house?
Back of the house.
Breakfast, happy hours, or late-night industry events?
I should say late-night industry events, but I'll say happy hours.
Yeah, I mean, but your late nights are, I mean, they're, I love.
Oh, 11
p.m. events. Come on.
Before having a 16-month-old, they were a lot more fun.
I hear you. You're probably more up for the breakfast.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll do two more. Cheese plate or dessert?
Cheese plate.
Manhattan or Brooklyn?
Manhattan.
Cool. You were good.
Thank you.
You were quick. You got the speed on it. Most people don't get the speed of my game.
I like the speed.
Okay, cool. So let's talk some industry news. The first thing I wanted to bring up is really sad. Food Arts magazine is folding after over 25 years. And there was a nice article on New York Magazine's Grub Street that Hugh Merwin wrote titled Why Food Arts Closing is a Major Loss for People Who Love Restaurants. And it was just, I read it, it was so true. It's more of an industry magazine and it's always been loved by the industry. It's so well produced. I did an internship at Food Arts in 1998 when I moved to New York.
Oh, it really hits home for you.
Full-time unpaid internship. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
Yeah.
Wanted to stay on board, but the staff is so small. And the staff that's was there then and since has been there, mm-hmm. they're still there now. And mm-hmm. I feel really bad that they're closing because it's Beverly Stevens, Jim Porras, Gary Stevens. They've all been there. I mean, they were all there when I was there. And Arian and Michael Badbury started this magazine in 1988. And they also founded Food & Wine magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people know that. And Michael passed away many years ago, and it's, I don't know, it's just, it's sad, so.
Yeah, it is really sad.
I mean,
when Gourmet folded 6 years ago, that was really sad, too. Mm-hmm. It's these magazines that really touch home to a lot of, to the community. And there aren't many of them that you really respect and you really read and you kind of take to heart. So it's sad to know that they are folding and that they're not able to kind of reach the next generation. You know, it says a lot about the next generation of what's to come and what they're looking to for their news and industry information.
Yeah, and they were just really pioneers. They, I think things they were doing years ago with putting Anthony Bourdain, mm-hmm. writing articles and putting pictures of pig on the cover, whatever they were doing was way ahead of the curve.
Completely.
And I mean, I love that I had the opportunity to work with them and even to get to know Michael Badbury. I remember as an intern, just you know, being very shy and humble and being in meetings, and he'd want to know my opinion on things. And I was like, really? Because he was just such a smart man and so distinguished and
right.
Yeah, really great people.
Yeah, it's really sad to know that they're folding.
It is. So I wish them the best. I really, everyone who's been working there all these years, they're really good people. So mm-hmm. I look forward to seeing what they find. You know, I think Beverly's going to freelance a bit. And
yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Good luck to all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Other not so happy news. I didn't realize this. So it's the not happy news show. So we've talked here about Tavern on the Green and
yes.
The not so wonderful reviews they've received. And they just announced Katie Sparks, the executive chef, has left. She's after 5 months. And so they don't have a replacement right now. They're looking. The article said there was many articles, but there was one in the New York Times, and it was saying that the owners are looking for someone who has no conflict with the volume, the criticism, and the pressure, and thrives on it. So maybe, hey, what about now Calintro, job board?
Yeah.
Do you have a posting out?
You know what? I don't know if we have a posting out, to be honest. But we will tomorrow. I'll reach out to them. But it is sad. I mean, Katie's such a wonderful, wonderful, talented chef. But I can't imagine what the pressure of working in a restaurant with the reputation of what Tavern on the Green has for New York, the pressure that must be.
It's a lot of pressure. And it's the volume. I mean, all of those things. And everyone... You know, it's a big responsibility. It's not just a restaurant with a lot of seats. It has everyone's been looking, and the reviews have been tough.
Yeah, they've been really tough, and it's you're getting New Yorkers, but you're getting a lot of tourists, and everyone's a critic these days. So it makes any chef's work much more difficult.
Very true. And I was thinking Stephen Hall's done the PR for them. And I've always thought everything about this project, being the publicist, it's a tough client. I mean, there's a lot of hype. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he has his hands full this one.
He threw a great opening party.
I'm sure they did. I saw photos.
Yes,
glad you were invited. It's a beautiful place, and I'm sure I'll be curious to see who they get. I mean, I think they do need someone who can handle a huge amount of covers daily, and I'm sure they will find someone.
I'm sure they will.
So. Get that posting up.
Yeah, we'll help them. We'll help them for sure.
Okay, so let's see. Another article. The review today in the New York Times, they did Claudette.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Wells reviewed it. The title's Inside a Souvenir from France. He gave it 1 star. And it's interesting because on the show last week, Ben Leventhal named Claudette as one of his best favorite restaurants right now. And I agreed, I had a really lovely meal there. Pete liked it, but he wasn't totally wowed.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been?
I haven't been yet.
It's got a great energy.
I think they do that well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the restaurant group itself creates Rosemary's. Like, they have a good method to their restaurants, and they have good followers, and they know the area that they keep opening up restaurants in an area where the diners are familiar with the brand, and I think that, you know, helps the energy within the restaurant.
Yeah, I agree. And they totally revamped the space. And
absolutely.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it wasn't a bad review. It wasn't totally glowing, but
I think one star for them is, you know, I was thinking about it today, and I'm like, it's hard to compare all these different restaurants that we have in the city, you know, because mm-hmm. like the Nomad or 11 Madison, like 3 stars to them, there still might be like, or 2 stars, they still might get some. You can't compare, it's apples to oranges in a way. You know, you go to Claudette and 1 star for them, I think, is a really good review.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, Pete Wells has given, there's a lot of 2-star reviews he's given, and I think it's easier, obviously, to give the 1 and the 2, and I don't know, it's interesting, but you're right, comparing, I mean,
yeah,
it's not
it's
that
hard.
Big of a scale.
No, it's not that big of a scale, and you can't have these restaurants, like a neighborhood French restaurant with a good energy, and you can't compare it to the top of the top of the scale of restaurants that are also in New York.
Right. Yeah. Oh, cool. Last article.
Yeah.
Can't believe I'm getting to 4 articles in the show. Amazing. Okay, so we have on Variety.com, CBS gives production commitment to buddy comedy. Now, I am talking about our friends, chefs Daniel Holtzman and Michael Chernow, the owners of New York City's Meatball Shops, that they have a new sitcom coming out. It's based on their story. So it's a comedy sitcom on CBS by Warner Brothers they are the consulting producers, and the whole thing is about 2 friends who have to go to couples therapy after they decide to go into business as restaurateurs. So I think these guys have gotten so much press, and
they are killing it. Yeah.
They're amazing guys.
Oh, they're fantastic. And they just have such addictive personalities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spending time with them is always so much fun. And they're just such a great pair. It's anytime we do a party, it's a good party if Daniel or Michael shows up. They know how to create the life of the party. They have such good energy, and their restaurants are just so fun.
They are, and they're genuine, and I'm so happy for their success.
Me
and
too.
I look forward to seeing how this turns out. I think it's called The Meatball Project.
I can't wait. I'm so proud of, like, what they've been able to do from a little meatball store on the Lower East Side to building this huge empire and brand is unbelievable. It's been fun watching.
Yeah. Really, and I remember going to, I think it was a late night event that you did at their Williamsburg location,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. We did one about 2 years ago at their when the Williamsburg location first opened.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. I mean, eating meatballs anytime, you never need an excuse because they're always perfect for whatever meal you're looking for.
Right.
It was just a brilliant concept that they put together so well and executed.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm very happy for them. I mean, this is cool.
Yeah, and the show, I think it's just the start of how, like, all these chefs, everyone's, you know, really making it, and all these producers of TV shows are really taking what the chefs were and making them celebrities. And it's really changing our food culture and putting all these restaurants on the map. It's a very exciting time to be involved in food.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, great. We're going to take one more break and come back. I'm going to do my solo dining experience, so stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Oh, This is Clay Gordon of thechocolatelife.com, and you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer, and it's time for my solo dining experience of the week. Now, this week, I checked out Danny Meyer's brand new Italian restaurant, Marta, which is at the new Martha Washington Hotel on East 29th Street near Madison. The restaurant is inspired by Roman traditions of thin, crackly, crusted pizzas and seasonal specials cooked a la brace, which means over open embers. Okay, now the chef and partner is Nick Anderer, who is also a chef and partner at Union Square Hospitality Group's Maialino, and the chef de cuisine is Joe Tarasco. Now, I went early on a Saturday night. I had been at the Taste Talks that were out here in Brooklyn, which were great. And then I went over there, and I went early because this place is really new, and I wanted to make sure I got a seat. And I did. I got a seat at the chef's counter, which I love sitting at. And it was a real treat because I was right in front of all the pizza-making action, and I was able to chat with Nick and his team while I was there. And I was also sitting next to their cheese guy, who I might have on my show, which was really cool that I met him. So it was a great experience. And they have these two giant wood-fired pizza ovens that are in display at an open kitchen. So you can see them from anywhere in the restaurant. But trust me, go in, get at the chef's counter. That's where you want to sit. Okay, now the menu looked fantastic. I started with the radicchio salad, which had quinoa, ricotta salata, almonds, and fresh local peaches. And the salad really was all about those peaches. You know, end of the summer, get your peaches. And then I went, you know, there were a lot of pizza choices, but I went with the funghi, which had fontina cheese, hen of the woods, chanterelles, red onion, and thyme. If you love mushrooms, this is your pizza. It was wonderful. It had a nice, thin, crispy crust. The toppings were awesome. And there were, I'll have to go back and try more of the pizzas. And, you know, it's not that big of a pizza. I mean, I ate about half and I took the rest home, but it's a thin crust. I think if I skipped the salad, I probably could have eaten the whole thing. My service was awesome. Very genuine. What to be expected at a Union Square Hospitality Group restaurant, I think. And I'm happy for them. So congratulations, Danny and Nick. Their website's martamanhattan.com. So, it's time for the final question, Stephanie. I wanted to see if you can ask a question for my guest next week. I'm having on Farmer Lee Jones. He is of The Chef's Garden, which is an amazing sustainable farm in Ohio that works with an array of impressive chefs. Farmer Lee is also hosting Roots 2014 on October 19th and 20th at the Culinary Vegetable Institute. And I'm actually helping working on that Roots conference. So I'm excited. Exciting. So I'm excited. I'm having Farmer Lee on the show next week.
He's fantastic.
I was going to ask, you've met him before?
At the James Beard Awards, I've met him.
That's how I met him. Because, I mean, people don't know him.
Yeah.
He has his signature overalls and red bow tie he wears everywhere.
Yeah.
So you can't miss him.
Yeah. And he's just so sweet. He's smiling and just very warm.
Yeah, really nice guy. So, Stephanie, what should I ask him?
So I was thinking, has with like the farm to table movement and the sophistication of the consumers' dining habits, how has that impacted, you know, purchasing from farms? Has it, or has, you know, restaurants always been, you know, purchasing a certain amount? Have they changed their menu because of it?
Ah, terrific. I will ask
and
him.
And that's what I was curious to know, what from his expertise and knowledge, what he thought.
I'll find out. He is an expert.
Yes.
You know, and he does. He supplies all these amazing chefs. I mean, everyone does know him.
Yeah, and he's so well-respected in the industry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, great. Thank you.
Look forward to hearing his response.
Awesome. Well, this has been fun. It flew by.
It did fly. It was a great 40 minutes. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, having us, Calintro. Yes. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Anyone who wants to find out more about Calintro, their website is calintro.com. And Stephanie is on social media. Her handle is SFB Calintro, and their handle is just Calintro. And that's C-U-L-I-N-T-R-O, in case you can't figure it out. And I love the culinary intro.
I know, it works.
Yeah, totally. Now I see it. Never saw it until you
I
said
hadn't
that.
Either.
Fabulous.
Well, thank you so much, Shari. This was great.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem. This has been, I love spending time with you and on live air. Why not, right?
Yeah, why not? And now we get to eat Roberta. It's even better.
Terrific. Well, anyone who missed a live broadcast, you can always find us at heritageradionetwork.org. We're also on Stitcher and iTunes. Thanks to my engineer, Liz, and of course to Stephanie and everyone out there listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you'll tune in again next week when I'm back with Farmer Lee Jones at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. So until then, have a great week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.